Dear friends in Christ Jesus, especially also the members of the Seminary Guild who are with us this morning. Would you like to get well? That's a question that was asked once by a great physician. And I'm sure if that question was asked today of people who are suffering, the countless sick people in this world, they will put this question, they would immediately respond by saying, I certainly do want to get well. We must realize that all pain and all suffering actually are only a reflection. They're only a reflection of that disease which has infested all mankind. Yes, we are all, of course, infected with sin. And it would be then to us today that this same great physician who addressed those words the first time would come and say, do you want to get well? The reason he asked this question of us is he knows our condition. Secondly, he can heal us with his word. And thirdly, he also takes care of those whom he has healed. Often the patient himself does not realize his condition except when he goes to a doctor or for an examination, then he begins to realize. And so it is also with the same sick people of the world. Perhaps this is also your situation. But Jesus knows. He is aware of the condition of man. He was aware of this man of whom we heard in the gospel lesson. Jesus knew, we're told, that he had been a long time in that place. Jesus also knows our condition. He knows that man has suffered for a long time. Yes, earthly doctors may err, not Jesus. He makes no mistake. He makes no misjudgment. He's always right. And what is the diagnosis? He says that they have ears that hear not and eyes that see not. They hear not God's word, and they do not see heaven as an open way to life. How about the mouth and the tongue? The great physician says their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used to speak. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And how about the hands? They have become unable to perform even one God-pleasing act. And the feet, they are unable to step even one step along the way of life. The physician says destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. The understanding is also marked, and he says, there are none that understand, no, not one. The disease has penetrated even the heart of man, that he must testify the heart which is peaceful above all things. That's the diagnosis, whether we accept it or not. The physician has spoken. And he concludes then his diagnosis with this sad fact. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness finished. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And this disease, friends, is terminal. It brings both body and soul ultimately to the sufferings of hell, and their worm does not die there. But the heavenly physician asks, do you want to be well? Do you want to have ears that will hear God's voice and word? Do you want eyes that see the wonders of God and the way to heaven as open? Do Do you want a voice which utters heavenly speech and joins in a new sound? Do you want knowledge which understands heavenly wisdom? Do you want a heart which guards peace and salvation? Do you want feet that are firmly fitted upon the path of life? Do you want to be healed? The man at the pool of Bethesda doubtless had sought many doctors. No one could help. Since this man also has sought many kinds of doctors, but all the world was unable to offer in its wisdom and knowledge, its praises and closes, its medicines and inventions, no cure for the ailment. Nothing could take the fever away. So finally he turns to spiritual help. They're told that whoever reached the troubled water first was healed. Now this did not seem to be an unreasonable requirement, but this poor fellow was not able to meet that requirement. And there are still fools promising healing to sinful man if he will meet certain terms. The sinner must change his ways first. He must repent of this sin and that, and he must seek after God. He must wait upon the Lord. He must do this and that. But even the most minute requirement to gain God's favor and grace is impossible for him, this man. As a man of the faith, you are unable to help yourself. Without Jesus, you will remain forever sick. And without his mercy, you will remain forever lost. But Jesus can help. He sets before us no demands of any kind. No demands. Look, my friend, Jesus heals with his word. He says to the helpless creature here, get up, pick up your bed and walk. Already in these words is a promise of help. The pool offered only temporary help, of course, but Jesus' word offers permanent help, complete help. Having heard Jesus, this man could have told himself, well, that seems just impossible. Why, these legs of mine, they will not be able to carry me. These senseless arms of mine, they cannot take the bed and carry it away. But he does not trust his feelings. He does not seek advice from his own flesh and blood. He has heard the words of the physician. And he trusts this word. And new life and strength flows now into every fiber, every joint, and he rises up whole and healthy. Jesus comes to the helpless sinners today the same way with the wonderful gospel message and says, you are redeemed. I have died for your sins. They're paid for. And in yourself, you have no guarantee of this. In fact, your own reason will immediately rebel and say, why, that's foolishness. Your burdened conscience will also testify continually of the enormity of your sin and of God's judgment of the sin. Your wretched heart is disgusting with destruction and rebellion against God. But as a miserable and rebellious creature, you can still hear the words of Jesus. And you can cling to those words. He died for a sinner, just like as you and I are. His blood cleanses us from all sin. He has justified us. His resurrection proves that. For all men who accept his word, eternal life is rest. Yes, and in the blinking of an eye, they are healthy, they are children of God, and they are on their way to the heavenly home.
Jesus does this with his word. But even more, he cares then for those whom he has healed. Would you not expect that those people who were there at the pool of Bethesda would all jump for joy when they see this man take his bed? Could not likewise all creation jump with joy over one sinner that repents? The angels in heaven and the redeemed on earth do rejoice and thank God. They were there, as we heard, men who criticized this healing and this carrying of the bed on a Sabbath day. To this man, however, the words of Jesus were more important than their words or their rules. He possessed the true believer's most important characteristic. He trusted in the physician's word. That's the faith that Jesus looks for among us also. And that's the faith he wants to also rally to strengthen. This shows how Jesus does not forget his friends. Because we see that in the temple he comes now to talk to this man again. Later Jesus found him in the temple, wherever the word of God is proclaimed in its truth and purity, there is Jesus' temple. That's where we must also be found. That's why it's so important that we be in attendance when we gather in our chapel services and wherever God's word is proclaimed. That's where Jesus wants to meet his own, to strengthen them. There he blesses them. And what a sad thing it is for a Christian to allow himself to stay away from Jesus' temple. Because if they do that, they will lose their faith. They will fall. In the temple, Jesus assures this man, "You are now healed." This the man had already heard. But what a wonderful thing that he hears again the same assurance from the lips of Jesus. This is what a Christian also wants. He knows that he is attired in the righteousness of Christ, that he is holy, that he is a child of God, an heir of heaven, that he wants to hear this time and again from the lips of the physician himself. And he continues then to say, "O my Savior, help us, Lord, by thy spirit and thy word. When my wayward heart is straight, keep me in the narrow way. Grace in time of need supply, when I live and when I die." And then Jesus adds to this man in the temple, "Sin no more, or something else may happen to you." Rejoicing in God's grace, then, this man is a child of God, but he still needs the law as a child of God to keep his sinful flesh under check and to guide his steps into God's pleasing living. But the aim of the law with the believer is not to create doubt or bring him slowly or fear or hopelessness. It is a guide, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are well. Over and over again, we want to hear this from the physician's lips. But the time, my friends, will come when we do not have to carry our cross anymore. When the accusing voices will be heard no more. And then Jesus will not disappear even for a moment, but we shall see him continually, face to face. And then Jesus will no more add the word of the law, after he has once again assured us, "Look, you're well now." And the angels of heaven and the chorus of heaven will join together with their voices in the celestial halls. "You have been healed. Healed of all your diseases. You have been crowned with glory, with grace and mercy." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.